Guys, he's here. He's here with us. Right? The moment that two or three came into this place, and trust me, it was the worship team because they're here super early. The moment that the worship team were in here rehearsing for this morning's services, God is in this place and he has filled the room. If you're here this morning and you're wondering, where is God? I want to confess to you today, he is with you and he is present. He's not far and he's not distant. And he's calling your name. One of the things that God has really been challenging me with over the last couple of months as we've been journeying through the prophets is, how do we hear God's voice? How do we center in to how God is speaking? And as I've been journeying through this, God continues to just remind me and bring into my attention how many competing voices there are for God. Whew. Church, there are so many voices vying for your attention. There are so many voices vying for your clicks, vying for your time, vying for your engagement, vying for just a moment of your day. And how easy those moments turn into hours. Right? All of a sudden, even many of these apps and different things that we use, like Netflix, well, they've actually identified that even their own app is not really that healthy. And so if you've been watching for a long time, it'll say, hey, are you still there? You're like, yeah, like enough. I've walked through like six ads already. Just let me finish my show. But even in that, you notice that our world recognizes this issue that we've made. Right? The world is so loud. It's so busy, right? I'm not going to take you back for a long time into COVID because who would ever want to do that? But one of the best things about COVID was that it showed us how full we had made our lives. So many of us were inside. We weren't able to go out. The roads were empty, right? I just traveling the 417 yesterday. I remembered that for a moment. I was like, you remember the time where no one had anywhere to go and you had some place to go and you're like, wow, I'm the only one. You're just cruising. But we live in this time where it became very apparent, just with not much to do, with nothing to fill our days, how tired we were, not just physically, but in our soul. And so God has continued to kind of speak into this notion of the importance of voices. And we see in the prophets' stories how important it is for them to hear the voice of the Lord. And this morning, as we go into the book of Jonah, church, I want to encourage you. God is speaking. And there are good voices out there that can contribute to where it is that God is calling us to. But not every good voice is God's voice. And so it's important for us to practice something called discernment. And discernment is so important. Young people, if you're in this room, learn it much quicker than I did. One of the core lessons that I found in discernment came when I got married. And I realized that the voice of my wife was different than the voice of my parents. If you know, you know. All right? And so when my parents would say, Mitch, you need to clean your room, I would love to say that I was the faithful child, but one of my wrestles was, I'm about to use that bed tonight. Yeah. And I'm the only one that's going to be in that bed. And so I had this conversation with my parents. Why would I make my bed? I actually like the pillow right where it is, right? And you see how I've positioned that blanket into a nice ball? It's perfect for me. That type of reasoning doesn't work the same when you have that same conversation with your wife. And children, if you can learn this discernment, I would encourage you to obey the voice of your parents as well. The parents said, amen, keep going, pastor. Keep going, keep going. But this is important because what happens is that as we go on this journey, we need to really begin to realize what voices carry weight in our story. Regardless of your age, regardless of your experience, regardless of your self-prescribed wisdom, I want to encourage you today that not every voice is equal. Yeah. Students, if you're in the room, get a mentor. You need someone that's been walking a couple steps ahead of you, because when you go to your friends with your issues and they're dealing with the same issues, no one has any answers, no matter how smart one person wants to try to be. Not so young people. If you don't have a mentor, you need a mentor to find out what it is that you are journeying through so that you are being discerning about what voices are speaking. Jonah wrestles through this as a prophet called by God. He is specifically at this point in time in the Old Testament, as you've seen the entire time that we've been walking through it, through stories of Moses and Joshua and all the other prophets that we've read. We see that God specifically chooses and equips leaders with this particular opportunity to hear the voice of the Lord. And Jonah is one such prophet. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, God clearly speaks to Jonah. It says this: "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.' But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down to it. Go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord." Here, Jonah is a really interesting prophet. Up until this point in time, all of the prophets, even though sometimes reluctantly, heard the voice of the Lord and stepped into very difficult circumstances. They heard the voice of the Lord. God told them to go, and they responded, even sometimes through conversation, but they responded and they went. One of the most difficult stories we just went through, what it was that Hosea was called to do and how he was called to speak and the life that God had invited him to live out in front of his own people. Jonah hears the same voice of the Lord, is given a very clear call, a call that on the page looks like it's easier than what the prophet Hosea was called into. And Jonah's response is notably different. Right now, we have so many options, don't we? We have so many options. There are an abundance of options to the point where there's actually a new diagnosis that's like a crippling choice, where you just have so many choices to make all the time that you get exhausted. Oftentimes when we hear the voice of the Lord, oftentimes when the Holy Spirit begins to move, if it does not align with what it is that we have been praying for, or we have been hoping for, or what we have determined that God would do, rather than choosing a yes or a no, we are quick to go to God and say, "But God, what if I just keep listening? What if I lean into option 3 or 4? And this is the world that we've created, where you don't necessarily have to walk through a singular door. There are so many doors that are opened. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, how at this point in time, we can have grapes all year round. You don't want tuna for dinner? No problem. Have the salmon. You don't want the salmon? No problem. Go and eat snails. All right, if you like that. Here in this scripture, God is presenting a challenge to us all. That although the world may offer an assortment of choices, when God speaks, the answer is either yes, God, or I choose myself. God is presenting a challenge for us, a reflection through the prophet of Jonah, that has been very different than all the other prophets that we've read through, because Jonah makes a different choice. But the recognition here isn't that Jonah has an assortment of choice. It is either to be faithful to God or faithful to his own heart. Now, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk more about Jonah's story. But just to let you in, if you're not privy to this story, Jonah knows who the people of Nineveh are, and he doesn't very much like them. And unlike many of us today, who would be quick to respond to God when he said, "Hey, go and tell the people that you don't like very much that they're not supposed to do what it is that they're doing," Jonah instead chooses to go his own way. Why? Because he knows that as God is calling him as a prophet to these individuals that he doesn't like very much, God has a redemptive arc in store, and he's actually not interested in that. And so he is presented with this now moment. Will you choose to follow God now? You are clearly hearing from the voice of the Lord. It doesn't say that Jonah wrestled as to whether it was him thinking this or someone else saying this or whether it was just bad tuna that he ate or what was going on. No, there's a recognition that God has presented him with a now moment. Will you choose to be faithful today? For Jonah was put this way, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Jonah was called to arise, to move from where he was to a place that God had in store for him. Another moment of a big challenge, another moment of a moment of now with God comes in a very famous story that Jesus actually shares in the New Testament, the story of the prodigal son. The story of the prodigal son is this analogy that God gives of this son who was born into an incredible family, and instead of walking out the intended inheritance that was put before him, he took his inheritance early and went and spent it all on the things that he wanted. And he found himself in a place where all of a sudden he had expended everything that his father had in store, and now it was just him, and he found himself eating and sleeping with the pigs. And in Luke chapter 15, verse 17, we pick up the story as the prodigal son begins to look around and says to himself, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? So I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. Here the prodigal son, in his own acknowledgement of what's going on, begins to recognize that he also has a now moment. Church, I want to encourage you that God is challenging and calling each of us to respond to him today. To respond to him in ways that because of all of the voices that are ringing out, it can be hard to discern what is God saying. The prodigal son looked around and realized this was not what was intended for me and chose instead to return to his father's home. Jonah, on the other hand, looks around and says, this is not what I want. And so geographically begins to place himself as far away from the call of God as he can. Where Jonah begins to reveal his heart position as he gets on the boat and travels the exact opposite way, away from Nineveh. Many times in our own story, how we can reflect if we're hearing the voice of the Lord is we can actually go to what it was that Jesus taught. People often ask me, how do I know if I'm growing in God? Jesus told his disciples and he told all the listeners that if you are plugged into the true vine, that is the Father, you will produce fruit. Amen. The blessing of the Lord is that there are promises that we can stand on. And so, church, when you're looking at your life, and maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Mitchell, this is actually a big question for me. How do I know if I'm listening to God's voice? Well, you can actually begin to sit in your own moments with God, but also as a community, involve people in the story and ask them, hey, in my life, am I growing in these things? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. See, the Bible says that as we are plugged into the heart of the Lord, that he will grow these things in you. And so this morning, as we sung against fear and anxiety, church, I want to encourage you today that those are not the things that God wants to grow in you. Amen. God actually has a desire to grow his goodness in you, that he would establish increased self-control in your life. If you're here this morning and you're prone to angry outbursts, or you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Mitch, there's just these habitual temptations that I can't overcome. My encouragement for you is this: plug into the Lord. Plug into the Lord. He will grow these things in you. Why? Because he's promised this to you. Right, okay, once again, we tend to get back to this often. I don't know why. Maybe it's the Bible. Oh, don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. See, a lot of people will walk out of sermons on Sunday mornings or sitting in front of YouTube and listening to all these incredible orators and people that are describing the Bible, and we have developed a theology of self-improvement with God. But that is actually not biblical, church. Church is a collection of believers. My encouragement for you this morning is to hear the voice of the Lord, but also do not wear all of the weight of what God is calling you into by yourself. Church, you need each other. There are times where you are actually not the best assessor of your joy and your goodness and your kindness. Come on, yeah. Right? It's important to have others in your life that would say, hey, I just want to let you know, I don't know what's been going on in your life, but you are so nice lately. Like, you are so kind recently. Church, it's important that we include others into this story. Jonah is a prophet called at this specific time to go alone in God's voice to the people of Nineveh. He chooses otherwise. So let's read through Jonah chapter 1, verses 4 to 17. And we're going to read through what happens as Jonah, instead of listening to the Lord, obeys his heart and goes where it is that he wants to go. And so as Jonah gets onto the boat, the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain finally came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise and call out to your God as well. Perhaps that God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? And where do you come from? And what is your country? And what people of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, What is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, because I know that it is because of me that the great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rolled hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more vicious against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done it as it has pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Verse 17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to dig into more of this story. What it is that's going on here as God sends this fish, and what is this supposed to teach us about who God is. But I really want us to focus on Jonah's response to the clear voice of the Lord. Church, as we drift from what God has called us into, let it be of no surprise if you find yourself exceedingly exhausted, if you find yourself voicing these concerns: I feel far from God. God feels far from me. I haven't sensed him in a long time. Here, Jonah is being given as an example of what it looks like in our own lives when we misplace our desire for our lives for God's intention for our purpose. What does that mean? Jonah clearly hears from God. Jonah clearly hears from God. Now, this is an important piece of the story. All right, if you're here this morning and yesterday you fell up the stairs, who knows how that happens, right? Falling down the stairs makes sense, but how, like, falling up the stairs, That's a feat. It's a feat in itself, all right? If you're here this morning and yesterday you fell up the stairs, it does not necessitate that this is your storm because of your disobedience. You miss a step. It happens. There are times in our lives where God is intending to declare our specific purpose on the earth, where God has called us to and what it is that God wants us to step into. And in those times, our stories may reflect what it is that's going on here in Jonah. It is important for us to be a people of discernment, because not every trip up the stairs is God saying that you're being disobedient. Oh, it's so important. It's so important, see, because that theology leads us into a God who has a white beard carrying a mallet. And that is not the God that we have been describing over the last 3 years as we journeyed through Heartstrong. Amen? The God that we have described over the last 3 years as we've been journeying through Heartstrong is a God of intention, a God of relationship, a God of mercy, a God of holiness and justice and righteousness. And a God who moves because he is God. And so, yes, there are times in our lives where you will experience an unprecedented tiredness in your life. And you need to pray into that and ask the Lord, God, are you trying to speak to me? There are other times where you're walking up the stairs and you fall and you just need to say, wow, I'm clumsy. But discernment is important here. Not everything, not every tempest can be attributed to God. There are times, because our world is still crying out for its own redemption, that you are going to walk through hard times, even though you might be in the direct will and purpose and alignment with the Father. Nice. Has anyone ever heard the story of Jesus Christ?
Yeah, so good.
But it's good. Like, this is important, guys. This is important theology to wrestle through. Because otherwise what we do is we come out of the story of Jonah and we begin to attribute that every tempest is through our disobedience. That's not true. This is where discernment comes into place. We need to know the voice of the Lord. We need to be able to discern, what is God speaking to me in this time, and where have I then found myself? There are times, because the world is crying out for its own redemption, that you will simply go through things because God has promised blessing on you, blessing in relationship to the Lord, blessing in every day to recognize that he has made this day. And because of that, we will rejoice, but not blessing in terms of worldly comfort and not blessing in terms of ease. That has not been promised. Hallelujah. Amen. So what's going on here? Jonah hears clearly from God's voice. He runs the other way, and God says, Jonah, you know this is not what's intended for you. And Jonah finds himself asleep in the midst of the storm. Where everyone else is freaking out, Jonah has already discerned, I know this is my fault. Where everyone else is saying, what's going on? And everyone else, all the mariners, are wrestling through the story like you and I would. Jonah's sleeping peacefully, being like, that's my bad. That's my bad. They finally rouse him, and he's still not willing to confess. So they're like, okay, let's leave it up to chance. And God says, there is no chance. Boom. Yeah. It's Jonah. Yeah. And Jonah says, yeah, okay, that's my bad. I knew what it was that God had called me to, and I instead walked the other way. Yeah. Church, this morning we live in a city that is desperate to know the name of Jesus. And each and every one of you will go from this place, and I'm going to race you to the door in a couple minutes. Each and every one of you will go to somewhere in the city, in the surrounding area, because God has specifically placed you there. You know that house that you bought because it was a good deal? That was God's hand at work. And you know all your neighbors who think the same thing? God specifically placed you in the midst of that neighborhood for a reason. You believe that you are the only Christian at your workplace by accident? No. God has specifically placed you there and surrounded you with individuals who just don't know him yet, so that they may know him through your life. High school students, my prayer is that your schools would know the saving power of Jesus, and that you would have the honor of bearing witness to just one friend coming to know who Jesus is. But in order to do that, you're going to have to show them, and you're going to have to tell them, and you're going to have to dig in and hear the voice of the Lord. Because God is hungry to save. Amen? God is hungry to move in redemption. There is no desire in God that any one of your friends or your families or your coworkers or your neighbors or the other students at school, there is no desire in God that no, not one would perish, but that everyone would know and hear the good news that Jesus did die on the cross, that he did rise again on the third day, and that he can, in this moment, on your confession of faith, set you free. And then we have a choice. Do we follow or do we walk this out on our own? I believe that we are on the precipice of an incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe that we are going to watch people come to the saving power of God. Why? Because it's so good. How many of you in this room know that God's mercy, God's love, God's justice, God's redemption, it is so good? Church, is there anything like God?
Nope.
Church, is there anything like God? Like his goodness and his salvation. How many of you remember that moment where you surrendered to the Lord for the first time? Let me see your hand. Where you remember as God stepped into that moment. How many of you here, you know that God has been walking with you all the days of your life? Let me see your hand. Church, there is nothing better than God. And so I believe that we are on the precipice of God entering into, on unprecedented levels, into the lives of your family and your friends and your neighbors. But in order for him to do that, he has to start with us.
Amen.
Here in this room, you have the privilege of recognizing what so many don't even begin to understand. That God is unceasingly trying to speak to you. Come on. He is unceasingly trying to speak to you. And if you're here today and you've been gathered in this beautiful congregation called Life Center, what we have to recognize is what a blessing that is, because there are people all around this city and all around this world that don't know that. Jonah heard the voice of the Lord and tried to distance himself from God. In these first few verses, what you see is that you cannot outrun the Lord. Where Jonah tried to go the opposite place where, okay, God's going to be in Nineveh with those people. I'm going to go over here. And what God was saying was, Jonah, you are the center of my eye right now. I am with you. I am here. No matter what boat you're on in the middle of any sea, I am here. See, Jonah's intention may have been to distance himself from God. But the understanding theologically is that you simply can't. Church, if you're here this morning and you are feeling as though you are distant from God, it signifies your own position, not the position of your Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. What it signifies is our own position, not the position of the Lord, because he is here in this room today. And I don't know what you're feeling. I don't know what you've been sensing. I don't know how your relationship with him is going. All of those things can build the story of where we are positionally with God. But the truth is the truth. God is with you. He wants to wrap his arms around you. And he wants to lead you into the places that he has destined for you. And he wants to use you as this incredible ambassador to share the kingdom of the Lord. And he wants to move redemption in your life. And he wants to clothe you in these new garments. And he wants to make you new and to restore you to the proper understanding of what he has always intended. This is the God that we serve. The wrestle for us is, are we actually looking for him? Jonah was specifically told to go somewhere that he didn't want to go. And I think it's an interesting piece of our own relationship with God. How often do we go to the Lord and tell him what it is that we need? Church, in your own prayer time, in your own conversation with God, do you ever start your prayer this way? God, what are you asking of me today? Before I lay down my concerns, my desires, God, what do you want me to say today? God, where do you want me to go? God, this morning, if you would highlight just one of my friends at school, I'll speak the name of Jesus. over every mountain and every street. God, this morning, if you give me the words to say, I will speak to my family of who you are, if that's where you would have me. Church, God is at work in our world, and he is already on the move. And his plans for your day are so much better than your own. Yeah. Costco is great. God's plans are better. Amen? Yeah. How often do we begin our conversation with the Lord saying, God, what do you have planned for today? I lay all my concerns. I lay all my desires down at your feet. I just want to be where you are. For many of us today, the first step walking out of this place is actually going to be to prioritize what came easy to Jonah. For Jonah, he was specifically chosen at this time to be a prophet who would hear from the Lord, and God spoke clearly to him. It was undeniable. Now we live in a time where there are so many voices that are trying to occupy the same space that God and God alone has been created to fill. Not every good voice is God's voice, church. And so it's important for us, as we go out of this place, to determine in our own lives and then establish within the community of believers that God has set us into, that we will hunger and thirst for the voice of the Lord. What does that look like? It might look like deleting X. One of the most redemptive things that I've done over the last 3 months is gone onto YouTube and deleted all of my search history. Whew! I saw videos on there and people and speakers that I hadn't seen in months. Because once you end up in this algorithm, you will just continually get fed the same type of voices and the same type of videos that you have determined through your search history that these are priority to you. Church, it is time for us today to take this moment and say, God, it is your voice and your voice alone that I hunger for. All of the other good voices are fine, but they cannot direct my steps. God, I do not belong to a political party. I belong to the kingdom of the Lord. Amen. My desire isn't just cheaper groceries, although in Jesus' name. Yes. I'm not just going to get excited when I see 146 and gas on Friday night, but in Jesus' name, right? You guys were there. You saw it. You entered into those lines just like I did. But may the joy of our heart, listen to this. May the joy of our heart be centered on things that only those who know the Lord would be able to see. Anyone can get excited about cheaper groceries. Anyone can get excited about cheaper gas. Yeah. But those who know Jesus, church, when you see someone for the very first time, make that declaration. I believe. Oh, oh. There's just something about the Holy Spirit rejoicing inside of you. As the angels in heaven rejoice of just one more soul. And my prayer is today is that all of you would experience that in the coming months, in the coming years. That we wouldn't just celebrate Life Center family getting baptized, but that you would see friends and coworkers, schoolmates, stepping into the waters of confession, saying, I believe. Will you pray for me? And so I want to pray a very simple prayer this morning that I believe will transform our church if we take it seriously. Would you center in with the Lord with me this morning? And so, Lord God, our prayer this morning, would you quiet the voices around us? Holy Spirit, would you center our hearts and our thoughts on you? God, do a work in our cities. Help us with discernment. May we hear your voice. And may we be hungry to walk according to your will. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 As our girls come to close the service, if they're there, I can't really see. I'm going to close the service today. All right. Church, I want to encourage you not to walk this road alone. If you do not know the names of the stories of those sitting around you, please understand they are your brothers and sisters. And we are Life Center. We are the church. And it is important to go on this journey together. And so as you leave this place, I don't want you to bear the full weight of trying to discern the voice of the Lord by yourself. I want you to go on that journey, but also surround yourself with incredible people who will help, who will pray, who will believe, who will correct, who will come alongside, who will point you in that open door direction, because God is moving. And so if you've never been a part of HeartStrong, I encourage you to do so in those morning sessions, those evening sessions. They are amazing. If you're here this morning and you would say, yes, I need to hear the voice of the Lord, I encourage you to come. Our prayer team here in Kanata, they're amazing. They're amazing. The testimonies that they're experiencing are because of your willingness to share. And so if you want to come this morning and receive prayer, I encourage you to do so. Next week, we are coming back. It is going to be an incredible time together in the house of the Lord. We have communion next week, one of my favorite parts of the calendar, where we are going to sit together and hear from God in this place. And so may God go with you. May his peace be upon you. Church, may his face shine on you. And this week, may you receive a Holy Spirit rest that goes all the way down to your soul. As you wrestle to hear his voice, may you also quiet all of the noise. He's speaking and he loves you so much. And so, church, as you go today, on behalf of myself and the rest of the pastoral staff, we love you so much. And it is such an honor to pastor these individuals. I know that for many in this room, I am simply stepping into what God is already saying. And so I encourage you to run that path. If this is something that the Holy Spirit is challenging you in, run into this. To hear and to know the voice of the Lord is a gift that we have been given. So fight for it in Jesus' name. Have a great week. We'll see you guys next Sunday. God bless.